The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views of the show's host and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the management, owners, or staff of this radio station. And now, it came from the radio.
Toy, and welcome once again to It Came From The Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me in the studio is a giggly Hassan Godwin.
Hello.
On this week's show, we're going to have L-Man Jenny Fildy interviewing singer and musician Gina Marie. I will be talking about the Ninja Kids Power Rangers episode 1 that came out recently, and I also will be discussing the 4th Popeye film, which is officially the 6th one, because they made another sequel in the time from the last time that I found out that they made 2 sequels, they made 1 more.
You know what?
Yes.
I don't even want to get to the bottom of that mystery. I have no desire whatsoever to... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
But before we do any of that, we're going to take it away with the news.
Oh, it's more than time!
It worked this week.
The news is brought to you in part by the fine folks at sci-fi.radio, that is sci-fi,
for your Wi-Fi,
as well as the fine folks at the Big Apple Con, which we are the official radio show of, celebrating over 26, 7, 8, 9 years of comic book nets and pop culture stuff. For more information, go to www.bigapplecc.com. The next convention is scheduled all the way in November of the 21st.
Nothing for
and
you.
And tickets are still not on sale.
Nothing
as
is on
of
sale.
Yet. Also, I want to give our shout-outs for our Patreons. I don't know why you find that so funny.
It's like, why are you telling me, hey, eventually it's going to be lemonade. But there's no lemonade now, so don't be thirsty.
But they, at least they know it will come. It will happen.
Right. One day there's going to be lemonade, and we're going to be thirsty, and we're going to have us some lemonade.
Yeah, so eventually, in however many months, were we? August, September, November, 3 months, you'd be like, I want some lemonade. In 3 months time, and now you can get lemonade.
But you're thinking about the 90 days you gotta wait to get some lemonade. But alright, please continue.
Also, I want to give out shout outs to our Patreons, up which they are Danny Grillo, Award winning director Jared Burrell, News, Samus Dresden Media, Shadow Rabbit Art, Yasin Array, The Huracan, Millie Portes, and GTS Comics. You want to have your own little shout out? Go to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com. The little button on there attracts you right to our Patreon page. Also, on the It Came From The Radio website is my book. Designated. Book about 2 warning alien races fighting over the universe. Power source. War finds its way to planet Earth. As a result, some humans gain abilities.
Shell
issue
out your
1
money.
And issue 2 is on sale right now. And finally, I want to mention that
buy those
on
books.
Wednesday,
baby needs shoes. Baby needs some shoes.
On Wednesday, September 9th, at the East Middle Public Library, at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will have our 108th live show. And we're going to have special multi-award-winning filmmaker Glenn McBride Jr. will be our guest. And we'll be raffling off passes to the Eterna-Con, which is in September.
Yay.
All right, as always,
see, start now that is next month. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Next month, we got something for you. It's coming up next month, and we're going to have something for you. As opposed to something's coming up at the end of the year that we don't have anything for you. Good luck.
But you can go to the website and press the button to see when the tickets are going to be on sale.
Aye, aye, aye.
When it gets on sale, are you gonna celebrate?
Yes. Okay. I will change my tune. Expeditiously.
Oh?
That's the X word I was looking for.
It's always just sort of with sad news.
Oh.
Teddy Moore Shabib, S-H-E-B-I-B, Shabib, Canadian actress, died recently. She is best known for playing Miss Shields in the 1983 film A Christmas Story. She reprised her role in the 1994 film My Summer Story and is the only actor to appear in both films. She played the teacher. If you remember The Christmas Story, you'll poke your eye out. That's,
I remember The Christmas Story very vividly.
She was 79 years old. And moving on to the second bit of sad news, we have actor and politician Benjamin Lewis Jones, also known as just Ben Jones, died recently from a heart attack. While in a handful of TV shows and movies, he was perhaps best known for being the mechanic, Cooter Davenport, on 141 episodes of the series Dukes of Hazzard, which ran on CBS from 1979 to 1984.
Cooter died.
Yes. A role which he reprised for two made-for-TV movies of the same name, one in 1997 and one in the year 2000, respectively. Of note, Ben also appeared in the film Moonrunners in 1975, which was the basis for the Dukes of Hazzard TV show. He played a different character named Fred. He was 84. You a fan of Dukes of Hazzard?
I was, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you couldn't be. You couldn't grow up in our era and not kind of be a fan of the Dukes of Hazzard. We were mostly, unfortunately for us now, mostly fans of the General Lee until we realized we grew up and understood the connotation and it was like, oh no.
Now we can't like that thing.
We could still like it. I like the make of the car. The car did nothing wrong. But it got blown away by Kit. Because yes. When you're growing up, Kit destroyed the General Lee. Even
yes,
though
it was that commercial where...
Yeah. Ah, yes, that promo commercial. Even yeah. though the Dukes of Hazzard was on way longer than Knight Rider, so...
They both lasted 4 years.
Dukes of Hazzard, I think, was six.
1979,
80, 81, 82,
83, 84. 5 years.
That's not four.
Well, it ended in 84. It's fine. Close enough. Close enough.
Well, I know for a fact that Knight Rider was only 4 years.
Four seasons, yes. So now, moving on to the last bit of sad news. Actor Reginald Horace Bannister also died recently from Parkinson's disease. While appearing in a handful of movies, he is perhaps best known for his role of Reggie in all five of the Phantasm films, with the first one being from 1979 to the final one titled Phantasm Ravager in 2016. He was 80. Did you see any of the Phantasm?
I've seen like the first two, I think.
So he played the ice cream man, the friend. In the film, he was the only one that lasted. Spoilers,
yes,
all the way.
He got all the way through.
Yes, I never seen any of the Phantasm films. But he was 80. Yes. No.
They're out there films. Let's just say they're out there films.
Okay, I just remember they were talking about the ball with the knives and it was chasing.
Yes, that's part of the out there-ness of it.
Okay.
I remember seeing that on one of those, remember That's Entertainment or whatever, Tom Bosley used to do that, and they showed that clip of the kid trying to get away from the guy, and the ball hit him in the head, and then it froze right there, because it was television, so I was like, what's that? I gotta know what that is, and then I went to go see the movie. I didn't go see the movie, but when the movie was available, I watched the movie. Ooh, regret. Regret. Strong. Still to this day, powerful feelings of regret.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's too bad, though, that the ice cream guy died.
So that's it for the sad news. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more It Came From the Radio.
Hi, you've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com.
Comic Books for Kids is the largest charity in the U.S. for comic books, toys, and pop culture items to children in hospitals and cancer centers. Donations of toys, books, action figures, Funko Pops, or anything pop culture related can be made to this organization. Find them at cb4k.org.
Hello there, this is Jan Chappell, who plays Callie in Blake 7, and I'm checking in to It Came From the Radio.
Calling all comic fans, Hurricane, Long Island's only benefit comic art convention, returns in 2026. Join us December 12th at Bethany Congregational Church, East Rockaway, New York. Grab toys and collectibles, dig through comic books, meet artists and writers, enter amazing raffles, enjoy food, fellowship, and rock your cosplay. Just a $5 donation gets you in from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit Hurricane on Facebook, and on Instagram, it's Hurricane LI for details. Hurricane, where heroes unite for good.
Hi guys, this is Xenia Seberg, who plays Zev on the show Lex, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio.
BKG Productions, LLC, your ultimate audio transformation partner. Got audio that needs a magic touch? I am here to elevate your content, specializing in professional audio editing. I can clean up background noise, plosives, and pesky S sounds, from podcasts to songs. I've got you covered, whether it's an interview, music track, setting volumes to precise specs. Email bkgvobiz@gmail.com or go to fiverr.com, search for BK Graves 1, and trust me to make your sound sparkle.
Me Grimlock having fun on It Came From The Radio.
Me Greg Berger also.
My neural net processor is linked to sci-fi.radio. It's sci-fi for my Wi-Fi. The more I listen, the more I learn.
Hello, everyone. This is Ellen Dubin from Lex, and guess what you're listening to? It came from the radio. Keep listening.
Step into the fantastic world of cool kids comics and toys at 2055 Hempstead Turnpike, East Meadow, New York. Discover Comic-Con exclusives, the latest Funko Pops, and a treasure trove of new and vintage toys and comics. Whether you're a collector or a first-time visitor, we got something to spark your imagination over here. Visit Cool Kids Comics and Toys today. Let your adventure begin, huh?
Hi, folks. Andy Robinson here. And like all the good things in life, it came from the radio. Thank you.
Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to It Came From The Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking in the studio with Mr. Hassan Godwin. So, as always, we start off with the not a sad news, because we already did the sad
not
news.
Not a sad news.
Yeah, so from the...
That's a lot of nuts!
Department.
I'm glad you guys worked that out.
The new Spider-Man sequel, Part 4, for those of you not paying attention, has held on to a number one spot in the Mexican box office, pulling an additional $144.2 million in ticket sales
in
second week.
What? That movie's woke. How could that movie be making money?
The new Christopher Nolan film, The Odyssey, which came in at the number two
another
spot,
woke movie.
Making an additional $37.7 million in its fourth week of release. For those of you keeping track, the aforementioned Spider-Man film is now the highest grossing film of this year, with $671 million, followed by Toy Story 5 at $471.3 million. Did you see Odyssey? Wait, you said you saw Odyssey, but you did not want to tell me if it was Odalicious or not.
I'm not answering to that. Would you answer a question if was it Odalicious?
Of course!
No. It was not Odalicious.
Did you see
it? Was good, though.
Toy Story 5?
No.
Spider-Man?
Yes.
And what did you think about Spider-Man?
It was Spider-licious.
Spider-licious.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a high praise from Sonic Goblin right there.
It was okay. It was a good movie.
I've been saying this for a while. The Spider-Man film is the most Spider-Man a Spider-Man film could be. It's like you read a comic book, and that's what I got. I got what I would... That's a Spider-Man film. It couldn't be any more Spider-Man than that movie. So it was pretty Spider-Man... eccentric. And
I don't think anything gets more Spider-Man than Across the Spider-Verse, where there's a billion Spider-Men in it.
But that's like, that's the amount of Spider-Men. I'm saying...
That's you spidered hard in that movie.
But that wouldn't be a typical run of a Spider-Man comic. In this, you would open the book,
only,
you see
the
a couple crossovers, you see his stuff, and blah, blah, and carry
on. Whatever. The only issue I have with these films is that all the Spider-Men seem to mostly like to Spider-Man without their Spider-Man mask on. And I don't know why that's a thing.
Oh, because...
He doesn't do that in the comics.
Because they're not paying the actor.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Put the mask on. We're paying to see Spider-Man. Not Tom Holland dressed as Spider-Man, not cosplaying.
Right.
We want to see Spider-Man. So, put the mask back on. Stop it. Stop it.
Fair enough. So, moving on.
Of course.
From the...
Yep.
Ah, as if.
Well done.
Follow-up department.
These departments should be fired. I think we're losing money on these departments.
None other than Paramount Plus has decided to pick up the new Clueless sequel series based on a movie of the same name.
None other than.
For those of you who don't know, or care for that matter, the series was originally set to appear on Peacock, with Alicia Silverstone reprising her role as Cher.
As if.
The series, which is being executive produced
by
the film...
Alicia Silverstone is older than me. How does this work?
Well, the series, which is being executive produced by the film's original writer-director, Amy Heckling, picks up 30 years after the movie, with Cher balancing her career and motherhood in her hometown of Beverly Hills, California. When her daughter reaches high school, however, Cher, quote, finds that parenting a teenager also makes her feel clueless all over again, unquote.
Is Dion going to be in the film?
I don't know.
This is show?
I just know that Alicia Silverstone is back, and you got the original writer-director, so...
Doesn't mention the cast, though.
Does not mention the
Some
cast.
Some of those casts kind of went wayward, let's just say.
They've done some things.
Dion was kind of one of them.
They've done some things.
They've done things. There's some stuff happened. Hold on. So is the girl from the Clueless TV show, is she going to be in the...
I guess we're going to have to wait and find out. We will.
They got to do multiverse. They got to do Clueless the multiverse.
Cher fighting
Yes,
Cher.
With the other Chers. All the other iterations of Cher trying to raise her own kids. As ifing all over the place.
Well, you'll have Paul Rudd, because you know he's going to be in it, because he knows better to do. And he's in everything. So
yeah, he's probably the father of the kid.
Oh, there
right?
you go.
If you follow the wholesomeness
Spoilers.
Of whatever. Stop it. Did you see Clueless? Who hasn't seen Clueless?
People.
Then why would they be listening to this segment?
Well, because they are enjoying our banter. So moving on. From me, at least it's not Shaq Fu Department.
Oh my God. We're paying people for this.
None other than Shaquille O'Neal has partnered with Archie Comics to develop Vengeance Unchained, The Legend of Black Caesar, a new comic book series about the rise of a mythological West African pirate. The book is described as, an African king of extraordinary physical presence must navigate the brutal transformation from royalty to slavery to slavery.
To slavery?
Slavery. It's hip-hop. To piracy, searching for his kidnapped love, while discovering that freedom in the Caribbean comes only those willing to take it by force. Shaq says, growing up, I've always loved stories about the warriors who refuse to quit.
Shaq's voice.
Black Caesar starts as a king, loses everything, and takes his freedom back on his own terms. That's the kind of story I wanted to help tell. We build something that's going to entertain you and make you think. I'm ready for the world to see that we've created Archie Comics, an iconic brand, and have been a big fan in many years. Archie is such an incredible legacy of storytelling and been able to collaborate with a brand that has meant so much to generations and fans that made this product even more exciting for me.
It's like he was sitting here with me the whole time.
Archie Comics executive says, we are beyond thrilled to be partnering with Shaquille O'Neal and Authentic Studios for this new one-of-a-kind project.
Sure they are.
Shaquille O'Neal is not only one of the greatest basketball players of all time, but he's a superstar on and off the court. As a sports analyst, entrepreneur, philanthropist, and overall celebrity, a partnership between the two pop culture icons like Shaq and Archie is one for the ages. This project brings forth excellence in storytelling like only Archie can provide. With the expert guidance of Shaq and his team, it's sure to be a comic event of the year.
Oh! Look at that. Another thing I won't be reading.
Whoa, yeah, he did. Hot take.
So you don't want to read about slavery?
I'm going to definitely read Black Caesar, the Pirate of Black...
Pirate of Blackness?
I don't know, the Pirate of Black Caesar, or whatever. Black Caesar Pirate, or whatever. Blah, blah, blah. I just won't tell anybody I read it.
Oh.
That's my plan.
Okay.
I will most likely read it.
Oh.
I owe it to myself to at least read that first issue.
I think the fact that Archie's not in it, and it being produced by Archie Comics, is kind of a letdown.
What? Well, how come Marvel's never in any of the Marvel movies or the Marvel comic books?
No, but Archie Comics will have Archie.
See what I'm saying? But that's a label. Archie's a label. See, I'm making a comparison. I'm saying it's a label, just like Marvel's a label and DC's a label, because there's no character named DC in the
But
DC
there is
universe.
A character named Marvel.
Huh? Yeah. There are characters that have Marvel in their name titles.
Yes.
But there is not a Marvel. Okay. There was Mar-Vell, but they killed him because they were like, get out of here. That name is stupid. Right? And there's no DC. There's no detective.
Batman's a detective.
He's the Dark Knight detective. He's not the detective comic.
He's not the detective.
He's not the detective guy. So Archie is a label. Stop getting hung up on it.
Detective. I'll read that one.
Where's detective? Hello, Mr. Detective.
So moving on.
Yes,
moving on.
Please move on.
For the last bit of news.
Oh, does that mean it's almost over?
From the You Were an Editor, You Know How This Works department. none other than Netflix, has filed a new motion in defense of them being sued by model Tyra Banks for the defamation of character in their documentary Reality Check Inside America's Next Top Model. For those of you who don't know, or care for that matter, Tyra claims that, quote, producers selectively edited a 3.5-hour interview down to about 16 minutes, removed important context, and created implications about her conduct that she says were false. Most notably, during the 3-part documentary, she was asked about a former contestant named Shandi Sullivan and a sexual encounter that Shandi now describes as sexual assault. Part 2 ended with Tyra saying, before cutting to the credits. Now, to be fair, at the beginning, wait, that was episode 1. At the beginning of episode 2, the documentary picks up right after with Tyra saying, I do remember her story. So they asked her a question, then she said, cut the credits, next episode, because it's a 3-part story. She goes, yeah, I remember her. So it was, I do remember her. But they cut it in the middle.
Okay.
So
it's a cliffhanger.
Exactly. So Netflix.
She's mad that they cliffhangered her?
Yes, essentially she is.
They cliffhung her?
She's saying that it creates an unrealistic view of her, and it puts her in a bad light.
Oh.
And because they cut off at the not the, right.
That was so, legitness, yeah.
Netflix says, arguing that
Netflix
her,
said, this is the dumbest argument we've ever heard of, and we have no comment.
Well, arguing that her objections to the documentary's editing do not amount to actionable defamation. And on top of that, as, quote, as the creator and executive producer of America's Top Model, where she spent years working within a television format built around selecting, omitting, and arranging footage into narratives, Banks understands editorial discretion.
That's why she's so mad. Because she knows the intent behind it. I cut it here, make him look stupid. Done. Woof, money. Cha-ching, money in the bank.
Also, and finally, Netflix says that Tyra relinquished creator control over the documentary and therefore could not dictate which portions of her interview would appear or how the filmmakers would structure the finished series.
Huh. Interesting.
So,
sort of not.
They were like, hey, we're going to make an America's Next Top Model documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I don't want to be part of that. And they're like, well, we're going to interview you for it. Like, sure, I'll sit down for an interview.
What?
And then...
Why would you interview if you don't want to be part of it?
Who knows? Maybe they paid her very well to be interviewed.
Then you're going
to
be part of it. Hate to break it to you, but they're paying you. If they're going to pay you and say, we want you to be part of this thing, I don't want to be part of it. And we give you a lot of money. All right, I'll take the money, but I still don't want to be part of it. It doesn't really work that way.
Well, if you think about The Matrix 4, that's what kind of happened. The Wachowski brothers.
Wachowski.
The one of them who made 4 was like, I don't want to make any more Matrix movies. And WB was like, well, we're going to make it without you.
This is not at all the same scenario that
they
I was
were
talking
like,
about.
They're like, oh, do you want to make another movie? And they're like, I don't want to make another movie. And they said, well, we're going to make another movie. Here's some money to be part of it. And she's like, well, I'm going to do it.
No, no.
So maybe
here's the thing. This is the equivalent, right?
Okay.
They're going to like, we're going to make another Matrix movie. We want you to make a Matrix movie. I don't want to make the Matrix movie. I was like, oh, we're going to give you a lot of money. And he's like, all right, I'll take the money.
Right.
And then they're like, where's our Matrix movie? It's like, I told you I didn't want to be, I didn't want to make the Matrix movie. It's like, yeah, but we paid you. So that's how that works. If you say no, and they say, well, what about this dump truck of money we're going to back up to your house? And you
right.
say, well, I'll take that. Then you've taken the job.
Of being interviewed.
Yes, that's all it is. And so she's being interviewed. Her contention is she didn't even want to be part of it. She didn't want to be interviewed.
Well, she didn't want to be part of it in the beginning, but she did the interview.
So she can't complain. If she took the money and then did the interview, then what's the complaint for?
Because it's painting her in a bad light because of editorial choices.
Which is probably why she didn't want to do the interview in the first place, which I can understand. But then when they backed the money truck up and she took the money,
if they're going to do it anyway, she might as well be like, I'm going to say my piece and defend myself and whatever.
That's fine, but you can't be mad. It's like, oh, they showed an interview that I didn't want them to show. They interviewed me when I didn't want to be interviewed. Did they pay you? Oh, yeah. Well, then, what are you complaining about?
Because they made it look bad. That's what she's complaining about.
Of course.
So much so she's going to sue them. Well, she is suing them.
Let her sue.
That was legitness.
But she can't say that she was mis... you know, misguided or they did something wrong, they she could say that it's defamation.
Right.
She can't say I didn't want to be part of it and they made me be part of it. There's nothing she can't do that.
Gotcha.
That doesn't work.
So we're almost out of time.
What a wow. That's amazing. How did that happen?
Final thoughts, Hassan?
Final thought is if they back dump truck money and you take the dump truck money, you took the job. That's the final thought. Hey, by the way, I'm available for any dump trucks of money that anyone wants to back up to my house. I will take the job if the dump truck of money comes with it.
Fair enough. So that is it for the news segment of this show. For everybody listening to us on the air, we'll see you next time. For everybody else, stay tuned for more. It came from the radio.
This is Michael Bell, the voice of Duke from G.I. Joe, and I am with It Came From the Radio.
Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to It Came From the Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. As I mentioned earlier in today's show, I am going to be talking about the new Popeye sequel, which is funny because the last time I talked about Popeye sequels, I had said vehemently that I was done with Popeye and I didn't need to make any more Popeye ever again. And yet, somehow this one snuck in between when I saw part 3 of the Popeye Revenge Returns franchise to now part 4, which is Resurrection. So as I mentioned before, Popeye became the character of Popeye became a public domain, and so people decided to make horror movies based on them. There was 3 separate Popeye horror films. There was Popeye's Revenge, Shiver My Timbers, and I forget the 3rd one right now. It doesn't matter because they're all not good. Although one of them was kind of sort of all right. But the worst of the 3 I felt was the Popeye's Revenge, and they made a trilogy of additional films. So there's 4 films in total. There's Popeye Revenge, Popeye Returns, Popeye Requiem, and Popeye Resurrections. So I saw it, spoilers for the film. And honestly, I have to say that this 4th one, out of all of them, might have been the best one of the 4 because it felt like they actually had some type of story and some lore, but barely. And maybe because I've seen the other 3 and they were not really enjoyable at all. The bar was so low that going into this 4th film, I was like, oh, well, this isn't as bad as the other ones because the other ones were pretty bad. But that being said, it really wasn't about Popeye as much as the survivor from the 2nd film, who also happened to, once again, spoiler, survive to the 3rd film. And the 4th film, and the 3rd film, as I mentioned earlier in a previous episode, the guy just punched Popeye, and that's how he was beaten and killed. So this was about them trying to bring back Popeye to life. And they, mama, they did have olive oil in it. Or the last one, part 3, had the sea hag. So they were using the character names, which they were allowed to use because, once again, it's in public domain. But the fact that it was more about the girl and her PTS and the fact that she went to a cult to try to have them revive Popeye. And, you know, true to form, Popeye, once again, spoilers, does get revived. So it does, resurrected, I should say. So it does live up to the title. And then I can say, well, I don't know if I can say this for 100% sure, but it feels like this was the culmination of 4 movies, and they did put a nail in the coffin and finally end the series. And maybe if they took, I don't know, 10 to 15 minutes of each film and splished it together to make one movie, it would be a so bad it's good movie. But this was, it was a chore. And I have to say this, I've mentioned this many times, because we do focus upon the independent filmmakers. And if this was a big budget film, I mean, it would have gotten trashed in the theaters, trashed by the critics. But because it's an independent film, it is low budget. You kind of know what you're getting in for. And it's hard to make a movie. I can attest to this, just creating anything. It's very hard, it's very difficult. So the fact that they did make it, let alone four movies, you got to give them some credit. And the fact that they decided to use the lore, which honestly, they really didn't need to. It could have been a very fine non-Popeye film because it was like window dressing, I guess the term would be, that they just slapped the names and had Popeye in it. Like, at least with the Winnie the Pooh ones, it was a guy in a Winnie the Pooh suit, what have you. But this was just, it was just this Popeye. It was just a sailor with a little anchor on his arms and deformed arms as it is, and they had the spinach. But every one of those things was not necessary to make this movie. It's as if they made the movie and decided to change, like, crossed out the name or whatever it was and added in Popeye and added in whatever else. Because it didn't feel like a Popeye film. But yeah, I saw it. I regret seeing it. And if they make a fifth one, I'm going to regret seeing that too. But I will watch it for the sake of completion. So with that, Popeye number four is out there. If you're really curious and you want to torture yourself, go get it. Otherwise, stay clear of this film. And that is it for this Popeye-ness. With that, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more. It Came From the Radio.
Hi, I'm Olivia Youngers from Star Trek Picard, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio.
Now, back to our show.
Anyone who knows me knows that I am a huge Power Rangers fan. I was there from the beginning. I distinctly remember when I saw the first commercial for Power Rangers, and I was like, I got to see this. And my love for the franchise, and I actually got to have the pleasure of interviewing a couple of actors, meeting several of them, been to conventions. So as we all have known, the show has gone up and down, and over the course of its 30-year run, it finally ended. And basically, obviously, just like many children's properties, it's all about selling toys. If the toys don't sell, the show isn't worth making money. The show isn't worth making, and then the show doesn't make any money. They're not going to make any more episodes. So they finished making Power Rangers for a while ago, and the brand has been popped around from various companies, from Hasbro to Disney to Saban, back to Disney to Hasbro, whatever. So Playmates have decided to take over the license for making Power Rangers toys, and they decided that they were going to reach out to some YouTubers to make promotional videos for their product. Now, at the same time, I believe Netflix was looking to make another Power Rangers property. And apparently, depending on who you ask, or behind the scenes, there was some conflict between the Playmates Power Ranger promotional video shorts and the Netflix show that they were going to make. During this time, the Ninja Kids put out a trailer for the Power Ranger toys, and the trailer was full of AI, and the internet backlash was swift, and they reached out to them and they said, hey, this is some AI crap. This is not worth it. And what's funny is they actually had on-set props and costumes. And they didn't need to use AI, but they did. And the Ninja Kids themselves were like, what's the big deal? We're kids. It's AI, whatever. But the guy who runs the Ninja Kids, I believe it's their father, one of their fathers, I'm not really sure, was like, oh, you know, the AI was a placeholder. And we weren't going to use AI and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and whatever. And then they also said, oh, you know, we don't have any money because Playmates didn't pay us. They just asked us to do it and blah, 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 blah. Sad story, tear emoji going on. So then it was pulled. They said it's not going to happen. Playmates said, nope. It was like a cease and desist. There was some, like I said, once again, confliction. It was a conflict between Playmates and Netflix and the Hasbro, whatever. And they decided it was done. Then, recently, they mentioned that the Netflix series was no longer going to happen. The new Hasbro, Power Rangers, whatever they were going to make is dead in the water, not going to come out. Coincidentally, a few days later, the Ninja Kids are like, hey, we're able to put out our show. And unlike what they had made claims to before, the show was full of AI. It was easily told. It was very, very, very disturbing to see. And on top of that, the series wasn't really that good. Now, normally I wouldn't be covering this. Normally I wouldn't be talking about this because it's a fan project, and you got to give some leeway to fan projects. And I've mentioned earlier, it's, you know, independent stuff is very hard to make. But when you have the company behind you and saying, hey, we want you to make this, either we're going to collaborate with you and give you no money, we're going to split the profits or whatever, you have responsibility to the product. And they felt flat. And on top of that, the story wasn't even that good. It really doesn't make any sense. I'm watching it and I'm like, this is some crap. If it wasn't official, you know, an official product, I'd be like, well, this is not worth my time. Much like the Power Rangers movie that came out in theaters. I was very disappointed in that as well. So then they're trying to make the blame. They're trying to place the blame game on Playmates, saying, oh, we didn't have final approval. They just gave it to us as is. We don't have any control over it. We don't have any use of what the images are. And it's a fan film, so obviously the rights are owned by Playmates and Hasbro. And so we can't, you know, we're not responsible for what's being shown. But they really are. And it's really bad. It just puts another misstep, another nail in the coffin that is Power Rangers. The show lasted for 30 years. It still has some life in it if it's done correctly. I mean, the comics are doing well. I'm not a fan of the comics, but the comics are doing quite well. You got to bring it back in its former glory. Bring back some actors. Bring back some action. There's still, some of them are still got it. You know, Amy Jo Johnson, a friend of the show, she's a director for crying out loud. David Yost, he's a writer. Johnny Allen Bosch just finished writing and directing his very first feature film, Spades. You should go check it out if you're a fan of action. It can be done. They just have to put the time, care, and money into it, and then they got to make good products for the toys. That way people can buy it, and then the series will go on. So, in short, do not bother yourself with the Ninja Kids unless you want to see some AI, some bad AI crap with a bad story and bad acting. It was not enjoyable. Maybe the kids will like it. I am not a kid. It's not for me. And hopefully it's not for you. So with that, we're going to take another break. We'll be back with more. It came from the radio.
Looking to upgrade your outdoor space? Rare Products NY has you covered. Our universal pergolas are modern, durable aluminum structures designed to withstand the elements while adding style and value. Enjoy all weather protection with adjustable louvers and glass options. Stay cozy in the winter with modernized screens and enclosures. Create a luxury ambiance with built-in LED lighting. And give your home or business a modern look that keeps guests coming back. For your on-site evaluation, call 516-225-8271. Email rareproductsny@gmail.com or visit rareproductsny.com. Rare Products NY. We've got you covered.
Now, back to our show.
You are listening to It Came From the Radio. I'm Dr. Feldy, a.k.a. Jennifer Lee Feldman, and I'm here with Gina Marie, board-certified music therapist and sound meditation practitioner. This intro is going to be kind of long, and I could make this double as long, so we're going to go as fast as we can. Then we're going to hear from Gina. Now, Gina's worked in hospitals doing sound therapy, weddings, events, Renaissance fairs, fairy festivals, private sound healing sessions. Highly recommend. I think I've done 3, and one I actually felt like I was floating. I felt so calm and at peace at the time. It was during winter. Every February, I'm always like losing my mind with anxiety, probably lack of sun, whatever. Helped me deal with a really difficult situation. I was actually getting bullied. Stand-up comedians are bullies, but that's another topic for another day. I also gifted my mom a sound healing session for Mother's Day. My mom has acute leukemia. It's not good. Her white cells, she's basically quarantined. Her white cells at the time were below 1, which is, it could be fatal. You can't get a mosquito bite, nothing. They should be 4, 5, 6. So Gina did a session with her Mother's Day. I let them do their thing outside. Gina with her harp and her sound forks and her magic wizardry magician work. And actually within 1 week of my mom's session with Gina, my mom's white cells went up from the below 1 to the highest number they've been in years or maybe decades to a 4. And the doctor looked at this as a miracle. So I call that miracle Gina Marie. And I knew she was miraculous the day I met her. So you can see her playing her harp and get some of the magic live on TikTok. She has a very soothing voice, like an angel. And she's a very kind person. I can say that because I've known her for at least 6 or 7 or 8 years. I try not to say anything about anyone's character if I don't know them for like a decade. But we're getting there. And a couple more things. Gina produced one of my favorite relaxing songs. It's called Our Ancestors Breathe. It's on Spotify, YouTube. I highly recommend listening to this one. All right, so if you ever want to be recharged or relax or possibly heal from cancer, check out her Our Ancestors Breathe on Spotify. And the last thing I will say is I strangely met Gina in 2018. Simply, I was still training fitness clients then. I didn't book a session that day to do something I almost never do, to go out to dinner. I never go out to dinner. I'm always like anti. So it was four or five girls. I'm almost at the restaurant and everybody cancels. I'm like, I don't even really want to go to dinner. And the only person that didn't cancel is the person I only met like once or twice was Gina. We barely spoke. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to dinner with a stranger. But anyway, what happened was it was such a great time. I think we had water kombucha chugging contest, and then we went to the beach drumming. And I just felt something really special in her. I've done this with a bunch of people over the last 20 years where I've kind of predicted where they're going to go. And I was right. I felt something really special. I told her, you got to get public, and I'd support whatever magic she does. And she didn't really have an internet presence. But this year, she was nominated and won, I think it's top live streamer of the year.
Yes.
So that's her medal. What's the exact title of that?
Live top music streamer of the year for Blue Agency on TikTok.
Wow. All right. So here we go. So, she's here. She's here. Welcome.
Super grateful to be here as always. Always been a fan of Jen's projects and just your creative spirit is amazing. It's alive and well. And that's what I really appreciate. You're always yourself and just, I feel like I can be myself because you're yourself around me. So
just here. That sums it up. So I'm going to go, since I already did the intro of my mom's white blood cells, we're going to get past that. But my first questions are, any theories that you have on why my mom's white blood cells, they jump from a 1 to 4? Why? Any theories why that might have happened?
So my background started in sound meditation. So there's a bunch of different theories about sound meditation and where that's going, that whole industry. And a lot of people like to say it's woo-woo to just take a singing bowl or, play some frequency and have it alter your biology in some way. Now, I'm going to be careful with what I say because I also have a background in music therapy. I'm a board-certified music therapist. So I went to college, I took a test, and I'm a part of an accredited program. So I really, my work bases on bridging the two together. So like bringing the clinical aspects of music and the like woo-woo or spiritual or just otherworldly parts of music that sometimes we can't explain, but that's where the connection lies. It's, music has been called like a connector, and it's been with us through ancestry. The first musicians were, playing with rocks and sticks and singing. So with that all being said, do I have any theories about why the blood count, the white blood cell count went down for your mother after we had
went up?
She had nothing.
She had nothing there, basically. Yeah.
So basically, her immune response turned on.
Yeah. I guess so. I don't know. I only know that test. I think all of her numbers went up that week in a good way. Things went better.
So what
she was almost even back to the gym and out of quarantine after your session.
Really?
Yeah, and it's been better since then. Yeah, I mean, it hasn't stayed. It stayed for like 3 weeks. But still, that hasn't happened ever,
So something that happens with music is the nervous system is affected in some way. A lot of people like to talk about the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous system. The parasympathetic nervous system is all the things running in the background. You breathing, your heart rate, the things that, presumably we can't control, but we can control by the breath. We can control by presence in a way and just embodying our space. So something that music does is it brings the presence back to people, I've found, because music, you have to be active listening. And something that I like about, so it's called sound healing or sound meditation. I use sound meditation just because I believe healing is an aspect that we all have within ourselves. And I don't do the healing. I'm just there as an activation for the person to start their healing process on their own. So if anything, I hold space for the person musically to also connect musically, because we all have the power to affect our biology just by singing, just by listening to notes and taking them inward. So a lot of the time, some people are walking around and they feel numb. And so something that music does is it awakens the parts of us, our emotions, our processes, our senses, right? We can hear. It activates all these different parts of our biology that kind of bring us back to life. So something alongside talking about like music therapy wise, the vagus nerve is the longest nerve in the human body. And it plays a key role in the connection between the human body and mind. So it can help a person remain in touch with their feelings and emotions. And the vibrations that are caused by humming or activating your vagus nerve in some way. So it could be by a tuning fork being placed in that area. It could be by a singing bowl, not even touching the body. You don't even have to touch that. Just around the neck, around the heart, or the stomach can influence us. And that's kind of where the connection lies, where it's like there has to be a mystery to this all that we can't explain. So when I get into music and sound, I really like I'm here to just bridge those two and be like the mystery is a part of it. Like we can't have concrete knowledge for it all, but to hear that your mom had such a positive influence after just having a session, to me is just an affirmation of how the power of music can really touch us all and help us come back to life and just live well.
I was going to ask you about the vagus nerve. So a lot of this is coming out more mainstream. You'll read things about how humming can regulate you and can calm you down. So even saying, I notice, because I'm very sensitive physically, I just said, a few times. And I was like, oh, I already instantaneous feel relaxed just with that. So actually, could you tell us a little about humming or maybe some things people can do at home maybe while they're listening?
So a lot of the times I hear, because people hear that, you know, singing is good for your health. That's coming out in the science. Thank God.
Right.
They're saying things like singing in groups releases oxytocin, which is the bonding hormone with people. But
yeah.
It also is great, especially for us women, because we heal when we, you know, produce oxytocin. So the more that we can do that, the better. A lot of people are like, I can't sing. What the F? You know, like someone told them they're bad at singing and then that thing takes over. But no one's bad at humming. I've never heard someone be like,
maybe.
I've never heard someone be like, I'm a bad hummer, like all that stuff. And depending on your own abilities, some people might not even have the ability to hum. But if you can create any sound, you have the ability to use your voice to influence your vagus nerve. So something that we do in childhood as well is self-soothing. So you might hear children just like singing to themselves or humming while they're playing, putting on their shoes. That signifies that they feel safe. And then it also signifies that basically you can regulate your nervous system as well. So that's what children just do regularly. They're just regulating their nervous system by humming, singing tunes, and all that fun stuff. So humming can ground us in our body. And this vibration we can use to tune the subtlety of how we create sound. So something you could do is a semi-occluded vocal exercise. So what that means is just singing without singing. So anything like humming or doing lip trills, it takes less stress on your vocal cords than singing or even talking.
Yes. That's one reason why I don't sing on my free time, because I just need to rest my voice. Everything I do requires some type of talking. So, you know, that's good. That's a great tip for people who speak a lot. Maybe honk, give things a rest. It's easier on your vocal cords, you said, right?
Absolutely. So something I suggest for you and anyone is just 5 minutes. You could do 1 minute of humming when you wake up, when you're like putting moisturizer on your face, when you're brushing your hair. I wouldn't suggest brushing your teeth maybe, but like, you know, it'd be messy, but like anything you're doing, you're like making food, just hum.
Right.
Like who cares? Put on your favorite song that you feel comfortable with, hum to the tune. Maybe it's not perfect. Guess what? You're warming up. So it doesn't have to be anyway. So warm ups can be really good. And then cool downs can be good too. So you can do those things at night. But I agree with the rest. You should definitely rest. However, if you add in warm ups, that might allow you to speak for longer periods of time. And speaking of your vocal frequency or your vocal range might be good too.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and my speaking and my voice is all off. So, okay, so I guess my grandma, maybe there was something to it when she would sing all the time. Da, 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 da. Number two thing I got from this, singing groups for people who are celibate or voluntary or involuntary, however it goes. That's another topic in general. But oxytocin, you know, you get from cuddling or touch or sexual. So let's say you can't for whatever reason. Humming in a group or humming, let's say you're in jail, you could hum with your security or police officer and you can get that oxytocin. You know, I'm just thinking of different ways to fix situations. If you're isolated, maybe even you can hum with someone on a Zoom if you can't get out and see someone else. Let's say you have long days.
Yeah.
And what was it? There was one third. Oh, the third thing is that they think you can stimulate your vagus nerve by eating. So I'm thinking for many people, including myself, get relaxed by eating, and that's probably part of it. You know, of course, you have carbs trigger serotonin release, so that's actually a good idea. If you're too low in carbs, you can feel very anxious. But, you know, there's better ways around. I think a lot of people, including myself, self-soothe with eating, but maybe humming is better because there's only so much eating you can do without getting diabetes and problems.
Yeah, so the vagus nerve travels from your brainstem all the way down to your stomach and your intestines. So it affects your digestion and swallowing, too. So the act of swallowing can trigger your vagus nerve, too. So what you're talking about, eating and stimulating, yeah. And you could just, you know, do the swallowing. Like as you
said. Right.
If it's tough to do that, take a couple moments. Like maybe you don't want to create sound. You just breathe in and kind of digest the moment. Even just doing something like that is a subtle way to just bring your body back. Because a lot of the times we're walking around and it's hard to be in body. It's tough. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on. Sometimes we're avoiding things emotionally. So I find that music and sound can really help fill those gaps in like maybe the emotional work we don't want to do or that we have trouble talking about. You know, not everything needs words too.
Correct.
Sometimes things need notes, you know?
Yes, so dogs and cats don't have words and they function. So, so we only have about 5-6 minutes left. I want to get to AI, but first I want to have you talk about, I'll be quiet, the importance of creative expression in music, art, theater, dance. How is expression and creativity important for health, no matter how young or old you are?
Absolutely. So something that was brought up to me when I was in college, so I went to college for music therapy, something that was brought up by an author, Kevin Brucia, he talked about musical health. So how creating music can show your health in expression. So it's like you have certain like genres you play in, but you don't play in other ones, or maybe you're singing a lot of high notes, but the low notes are just like feeling really dense or heavy, and just kind of how to like work through that, like music as a source of health, like a barometer. Where's my musical health at? Where's my expressive health at? Where's my, you do acting. So where's my, you know, expressive health with acting? Where's that at? Where's my emotive qualities? And just kind of how that does affect our biology too, our ability to output creatively as well. Creative output too gives people a sense of purpose. You know, I don't have a backing for that, but my life is kind of a backing for that. I had trouble expressing myself when I was growing up as a kid. I knew music was for me, but you know, going to school and playing violin and being told by the violin teacher that I sucked and I had to be last chair, but I knew that music was cool, but I had trouble reading music on a staff. You know, so like everyone's had their own journeys with it. Some kids did well with certain ways that music has come into their life, and some kids really didn't. And sometimes that's because music sometimes is taught in a way that's a little too regimented. So alongside all that, kind of returning that music is for everyone. Everyone's a musician. I truly believe that. Maybe we haven't found the instrument yet. Maybe we just haven't given time to the tools and the skills. So I think also sound healing and sound meditation is great too, because anyone can pick up a bowl, hit it, and bring music, bring sound to their life. So that's a little bit about that. Yeah. I mean, let's see, I could go on, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, you have a lot to say. This is very informative. It's great. So let's see. Would you rather talk about AI or your live streaming journey on TikTok?
We can let them blend a little bit. We can let them blend.
All right. So we got 2 minutes. So tell us anything you want. Let's make this a free-for-all. Anything you want to talk about, AI, live streaming, recording an EP on TikTok, you go.
Right on. So live streaming has been changing my life. I'm so grateful I'm live streaming this interview right now. Just want to give a shout-out to everyone that's been supporting me. I've been live streaming for
a year and a half.
Yeah, it's been crazy, and people will be from different countries too. My music has the ability to go out to Indonesia, Malaysia, UK, like all these places, and it just reminds me that we're also connected, and you can inspire people around the world just by, you know, putting yourself out there. So that's been great. I'm recording an EP on live. It's not together yet, but it's been fun to do that. And then AI and music, there are ethical concerns for sure, but as with anything, it can be a tool. So I think musicians need to not be so scared of it, because musicians also have those original ideas, the skills to like completely translate from your mind to the instrument. But maybe people who are disabled or have, you know, don't have the skills can now have access to creating a studio piece and, you know, with help of AI. So in ways, I think it's going to help people. In other ways, I think it's going to be an ethical thing we got going on in the industry. Yeah. But I'm trying not to be so scared of it.
I mean, I think it's going to happen anyway. So you could be scared or not. I guess that's the only option, unless you could figure out how to play God and stop it if you want to stop it. But anyway, we can talk about playing God another interview. I'd love to have you back. So tell our listeners, viewers, where to find you, handles, websites, anything you want to share.
Sure. So on TikTok, you can find me at G.I. Marie Music. And then on Instagram, it's a little different. I think I do G.M.M. Music for that. So, no, maybe it's Gina Music. I don't know. I have to figure that out. I have to pull that up. But you can find me under Gina Marie Marchese. And I should
be. Yes.
I'm playing the harp. I'm playing other instruments. It's been a fun journey. And if you want to connect further, you can also email me too at gimariemusic@gmail.com.
So definitely check her out. I'm a fan. I'm not a fan of everyone. I don't say this all the time, you know, I try to be positive, but I really do get a visceral, relaxing, focused, calm response listening to you. And everyone, you know, some people say that your entire personality, your persona, who you are, even past lives if that exists, is communicated through your voice, through your frequency, through your vibration. So Gina is definitely a special one at that. And I highly recommend you check it out. Yeah, for your own well-being and your family's well-being, check her out. And on that note, we're going to throw it back to the studio with Mark Torres for more It Came From The Radio.
Pratah, if you had any honor, you would listen to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for your Wi-Fi. Kapla!
Now, back to our show.
So that about does it for this week on It Came From The Radio. Join us right here any week on this radio station. If you miss any part of the show,
tough,
go to our newly revised website, www.itcamefromradio.com. The archives will be up in a week or so. Check us out on such places as btd.radio, sci-fi.radio. Check us out on our places such as Facebook, Instagram, YouTube page, Twitter.
And always follow the cost-benefit ratio. If the benefits outweigh the costs, do it. If the costs outweigh the benefits, don't do it. Or
just Google It Came From The Radio.
And we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to It Came From The Radio with Mark Torres. The views of the show's hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect that of the management, owners, or staff of this station. We now return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.